Today's program is brought to you by Whole Foods Market, a dynamic leader in the quality food business, a mission-driven company that aims to set the standards of excellence for food retailers. For more information, visit wholefoodsmarket.com.
I'm Linda Palaccio, host of A Taste of the Past. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, hey, you're listening to Eat Your Words in Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Kathy Irway. It is a super rainy, muggy, cold Sunday in Brooklyn here, but I'm joined by a couple really inspiring authors. I really have to say that I think that they're doing some of the work that is, like, most impacting and really important today. It ties in with a lot of the values we've been talking about food, doing it from scratch, learning early, and excelling as from a young age. So these are both authors of books. I'll name the first one. It's called Future Chefs, Recipes by Tomorrow's Cooks Across the Nation and the World. It's Ramin Ganeshram, and she's here right now.
Hi.
Hey, thanks so much for joining.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
All right. And we've got on the line Sarah Elton. She is an author and journalist, and her latest book is Starting from Scratch, What You Should Know About Food and Cooking. It's for kids. How are you, Sarah?
Hi. Good morning. I'm happy to be here with everybody. Good afternoon.
Yeah. All right. So congratulations, guys. And you guys are both, like, veteran food writers. Ramin, you've written for The Times. Sarah, you've written about rooftop gardening, sustainable agriculture. And this is not your first books for both of you. And I think it's really interesting that you're writing about children excelling in cooking. And how did you guys get inspired? I mean, I don't have kids, so I just find it a really, I just think it's a really important topic. So what got you started on that path?
Well, it's Sarah talking,
yeah.
And what happened with me is that when I was writing my last book for adult nonfiction, and I traveled around the world, and I was writing about sustainable food movements in a book called Consumed. I found that everything kept pointing to, well, what are we going to do about the future, and how are we going to change things? How are we going to change this industrial food system and make it better for the future? And that kept pointing me to kids and education. And so that led me to writing this book, which is teaching kids how to cook from scratch. It teaches kids about the science of food, about the culture of food, why what you cook tells the world a story about who you are, to get kids engaged in their food so that they can appreciate it and make the decisions that we need people to make to support a more sustainable food system in the future.
Yeah, and you know, I hear, like, folks like Mark Bittman and Michael Pollan talking about how important it is to just start cooking from scratch. And a lot of it is pointed from an adult perspective, too. But people, you know, are getting the message. It's all about home cooking to kind of get familiar with all these issues and also help to become part of the solution. So, Ramin, how about you? How'd you get into this book?
Yeah, for me, it was a little circuitous. I was, I had written a middle grade fiction novel,
Novel
about a girl who wanted to be a contestant on a cooking competition show.
Right.
So when this book came out 4 years ago now, it was pure fantasy. There were no cooking competition shows
for kids.
No, not at all. And it was completely just off the cuff, something that I wrote for Scholastic. And the book did really well. But what happened was I started to get these letters from kids, from librarians, parents, aunts, uncles, who all said to me, I know a kid who is just like the protagonist of this book, who loves to cook, is really passionate, is cooking from scratch. Yeah, or is cooking to demonstrate their culture. You know, really good point. And I started to realize this is not a fad. It's not a fanciful notion. There are real kids out there.
It's not exactly fantasy.
It's not fantasy. So I started to dig, and the responses of people who said, yes, I have somebody, and I have a great recipe, And the recipes were good. They really were. And I realized there was a book in it.
So just to go over the premise of Future Chefs, you found a lot of inspiring kids who are making their own recipes.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, when you think of how many adults, like, follow recipes, you know, word for word, these kids are doing it and creating. And that is really powerful. I think that's... is this a trend nowadays? Like, both of you, feel free to chime in. Are kids cooking more now because of maybe popular media, shows like MasterChef?
I mean, from my perspective, I think that because we live in a society where food is so fetishized and we're so obsessed with it, and it's really, no pun intended, the grease on the social wheels, right? Even people who in the past you never would have thought about talking about what they ate for dinner do so. And I think what we're seeing is children who are growing up in a world where they're immersed in food culture, not just Food Network, not just, you know, food media magazines and cookbooks and so on, but in their schools and healthy eating programs and culinary programs, culture programs, you know.
Celebrity chefs, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, the people who are really, in my experience, this is anecdotal and I've heard similar.
You've done a lot of anecdotes with this book.
With this book, is that, you know, some of the most powerful followers of competition cooking shows are children, right?
Yeah.
So I think that it's a natural progression of where we are in as a food culture of America. I think that this idea of kids wanting to cook, cooking from scratch, and doing so is not an anomaly. It's the natural evolution of who we are as Americans and what we eat.
And it's cool.
That said, if you look at the data, fewer and fewer of us are cooking from scratch, and more and more families are eating prepackaged foods and you go to the supermarket and it looks like a takeout joint now because people don't cook from scratch anymore, a large part. In Canada, only 1 in 4 people will eat a home-cooked meal in one day. That's according to Industry Canada statistics. And the stats are pretty similar when you look at the United States as well. So it's a strange world that we live in because because what Ramin's saying is so true. We are obsessed with food. We fetishize food. We watch food on TV. And yet, we are losing the skills that we need to be able to cook from scratch. We don't know how to cut up a chicken into pieces to make a curry. We don't know how to boil bones to make a soup from scratch. And we've seen in schools that they just don't teach the same skills anymore that they used to.
I find it frustrating also that some of those shows, they don't really show practical instruction so much anymore. It's more about like the guts and glory and competition.
Yeah, like it's cooking as show and cooking as spectacle, but that cooking that a family needs to get through a week, you know, like breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks every single day, is perceived as drudgery and we are told by the food companies who make food that it is drudgery. And so what I want to do is to inspire kids to not see that soup making is drudgery and just getting dinner on the table without any spectacle involved is that can be fun, it can be engaging, and it's also a cultural experience that tells the world a story about your family, your culture, your tastes, and also it connects you to your food in a good way. You can if you cook from scratch, you can go to you can buy fresh ingredients and turn them into a healthy
food
and control how much salt and sugar
practical.
And fat you put in them. So,
right. What do you think?
I think Sarah's exactly right. But what I do think is that the people who are willing to cook from scratch, to say maybe it's not drudgery, who are not already sold on the idea that it's not something you want to do, are kids. You know, for a lot of these kids, cooking is creativity. You know, as Sarah points out, there's this aspect of it that can be, you know, it doesn't have to be spectacle and show, but there's still this aspect of a creative toolkit. And food can be that. And I think that from my experience, I think Sarah's completely right. The statistics bear it out. There's no doubt about it. But I think if there's anybody who is our hope to turn that ship around, it's people under 18 right now in America.
And, okay, so, you know, in my generation, I felt that not a lot of people have been cooking. But, you know, things go in and out. It was really taboo. It was actually not cool at all to cook. But my generation is having kids right now, and you know, with all the talk about the importance of fresh ingredients, like the best ingredients, organic, and you know, healthful foods, which you may not always find in restaurants. I think that cooking is coming back, and I'd love to see, you know, if we have statistics about kids cooking, because I know adults still, you know, it's a uphill, upwards battle, but it's really interesting to see what will happen with the next generation.
Well, I think you're right. I think that the global sustainable food movement, when you can call it whatever you want, the local food movement here in North America has really rescued home cooking from disappearing, and I too anecdotally feel like more people are talking about cooking healthy foods, and I get that same sense, and I think the future for sure are kids. And if you look at the social science research, it's really interesting. When kids who are involved in cooking food, they eat more vegetables, they like more and fruit, they eat a healthier diet because they understand food and they're engaged in the cooking process. So it's not just important from, well, a cultural reason, and as Ramin says, for creative expression, because cooking is like painting a picture or composing a song. It's a way of expressing yourself, and it's a beautiful thing, but it also is a way to keep yourself healthy. And the social science research into this bears that out. The kids who cook will eat better food. So it's just a win-win for everybody.
I'm looking at a photo of one of the recipes that a child, Hannah Lemaire from Sonoma, California, made. It's a spring-summer vegetable risotto. It just seems like it has so much knowledge about, like, there's purple cauliflower in this photo. I know grown-ups who don't know what that is.
You know, I think this really, that's a great recipe because it makes a point, pardon, about regionality. Mm-hmm. And the fact of the matter is there are regions in the United States, just like Canada, vast, vast countries, where you are going to have more food knowledge than others. This young lady lives in Sonoma,
right,
in California, where they are blessed by the bounty of harvest nearly all year long. Mm-hmm. And so she is immersed because of her society and her regional culture in the opportunity of different produce and what have you. And I think that what we need to do is get to a place where all young people, regardless of where they are region-wise, can have ownership of the regional food, mm-hmm, culture, whether it's, right, a farm culture or an ethnic culture, as a way to create that sense of knowledge and a buy-in, ownership into
the
process.
It makes so much sense, yeah. And I find that, you know, a lot of people gravitate towards whatever is hot right now, Mediterranean, you know, even though we live in the Northeast, it's, yeah, just lemons all the time. So, yeah, getting started from a young age, because, you know, a lot of people, like, I think that just really helps instill that.
For my New Year's resolution, and I wrote an article about this, I said I was going to get my kids, I have two kids, two girls, 10 and 7, well, almost 10 and 7, and my New Year's resolution is to teach them to cook independently of me. We've cooked a lot. They've cooked, you know, macaroni and cheese from scratch and other things, like they can make salad dressing, and we cook together.
Wow.
But my goal is that in 5 weeks' time, they're going to make us dinner from scratch on their own. And I went into this on kind of a lark in some ways, that,
yeah,
there should be no problem. But I was surprised, despite all the preparation that I have done with my kids from getting them involved since they were really little in the kitchen, how challenging it is to take this next step, not necessarily for them, but also for me as a parent, because cooking involves risk.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to teach your kids, you have to give them sharp knives, and you have to let them turn on the stove. And these are things that are hard to do. So there's lots of barriers to getting kids cooking healthy foods, and it is not always what one, as a food journalist, thinks it's going to be when you start,
right,
down this road.
That's funny. What do you think, Ramin? Because a lot of these kids were cooking independently too, that you met.
Yeah, and it's interesting, and Sarah, I think, will find this interesting, is that a lot of these kids who are the most able cooks do not have parents who cook.
Wow.
It's super interesting how many of them said to me, there's a young man there, Tyler Trainor, he has a key lime pie. And when I interviewed him, his mother said to me, I don't really know where this comes from because his father and I do not cook. And I think that when you don't have, in some ways, if you want to call it the pressure or the ease of a parent who is able, or so that you can learn together, those are almost, in my experience with this book, the scenarios and the setups for these kids become very, very skilled because you don't have someone to live up to in many ways. I know that my own daughter, who's nine, sadly, is not as interested as I would like her to be in cooking because she's says,
well, maybe it's because you're trying too much to encourage it.
True.
Or your food is too delicious.
Well, she says,
Mom. Kids are rebellious, you know? They want to do the opposite of what I did, at least.
No, it's true. And she says, well, you're a chef, Mom. What do I have to learn to cook for? Or, you know, and all of your friends are chefs.
So
and
funny.
So it doesn't, you know, but and I did find that the people who were learning with their children, so they're in it together and there's a level playing field, almost always produce the children who are the most skilled.
And interesting. I happen to have met someone like that last night because she's 15 and she's been cooking for a long time and her parents don't cook. And so she sort of saw a need in her family that she filled, which I think is a wonderful initiative. But I think that we can even engage the kids who aren't that interested by giving them that responsibility.
Yeah,
what I've learned
skills,
certainly in the last 2 weeks of my little experiment here is that my kids, you know, they're interested in cooking, but they're not those kids who are going to be submitting recipes to your book, for example. I mean, but what has inspired them is that feeling of independence and feeling grown up, that I have trusted them to. Yesterday they made soup, and I really held back, and I just they cut everything, they put it in the oil, and it was that feeling of independence that motivated them, I think, more than anything else, especially because one of my daughters didn't really like the soup in the end. But she ate it anyway because they made it.
Because you make it. Well, we're going to cut to a quick little commercial interlude, but just to note, a lot of the chefs that I meet are people in the restaurant industry get into it because they didn't have good food growing up, which is really funny, too.
Oh, that is interesting.
All right. We'll be right back chatting more.
You are listening to Pale Blue by The Landing.
Today's program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market. Are you a locavore? Our Northeast regional forager for Whole Foods Market sure is. She spends her time traveling around the New York City metro area sourcing the best new or interesting artisanal and handcrafted local products for our purchasing teams at the local store level. Part of our commitment to our local suppliers includes assisting them with the process of getting their products sold at our stores. Whether it's suggesting packaging designs, pricing, or distribution methods, she's helping some of the area's best new products reach savvy shoppers at Whole Foods Market stores. Today, New York. Tomorrow, the world. For more information, visit WholeFoodsMarket.com.
Hello, this is Mark Ladner from Del Posto, and you're listening to Heritage Radio Network.
Hey, hey, you're listening to Eat Your Words. We're back with Ramin Ganeshram and Sarah Elton, both authors of new cookbooks that you should check out, Future Chefs and Starting from Scratch. So I just, you know, I find it really interesting that you're able to find so many kids that were cooking, Ramin, but I was really interested by this section about some kids that are, it's a section titled Cooking for Change, the Activists. So some kids are really involved in cooking for a reason beyond feeding themselves, too.
There really are. And actually, to me, they are a portion of a larger trend among mostly teens toward activism, whether their activism is animal rights or civil rights or, you know, autism awareness.
Environment,
exactly. And these kids are a portion of that. There's a much bigger movement over and above just food. But what was really interesting to me about these particular kids is that they were talking about things from a very educated, long-term sustainability perspective.
No kidding.
Yeah, it's very, very impressive. You know, this understanding that we're doing this not just so that our lives currently can be better, mm-hmm. but because we're affecting a long-term change. And they're so dedicated. There's a young man in this book. His name is Burke Bear, and I would make the argument that he's probably one of the most noted and recognizable anti-GMO activists
wow.
in the world. And he gave his first TED Talk when he was, I believe, 11 years old.
This makes me so excited.
Yeah, it's exciting. I think it's really exciting. They're such inspiring kids that, you know, I love telling their stories because mm-hmm. they deserve to be told. But I'm hoping that other kids will
yes.
say, I could do that. You know,
right.
that could be me.
Because it's not like folks like Michael Pollan are like the most, let's say, you know, charismatic.
Child-friendly.
Yeah. Like
yeah.
idols.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not exactly a teen idol.
Yeah. as wonderful as he is, of course. But,
right.
Yeah.
But this is really inspiring. And certainly, you know, like, this harkens to, like, the practical nature of food and getting back to the basics of what food is and getting to know the science behind it and all the ramifications of raising it, growing it, and et cetera. So that's really interesting. And that's something that you write about quite a bit in your book, Sarah. What is food? You know, what are the ingredients and how does it work with your body, but also how does it play with the agriculture? And I haven't seen too many kids' cookbooks that do that talk about, you know, all the issues around making food. So what inspired you?
Yeah, that's a really good point. I think we are hesitant to talk about the ethics of food with kids.
You have a section called bugs. Like, who wants you know, bugs?
Yeah, and people, in fact, have asked me, that's one thing when I've been talking about the book, they ask me, oh my gosh, you have a section in your book called Ethics in the Kitchen, and you introduce ideas like what's fair trade and what's a sustainable fishery mm-hmm. and what's organic, cage-free, you know, animal rights, et cetera. And I write about it in a very neutral way. I just present the facts to the kids. I don't take a stand, even though as an adult writer for adults, I take a very strong stand on these issues. But for kids, I just laid it out because I wanted to provide kids with information so that they can make up their own minds. And from talking to kids about food, I could see, I see how people respond to things. And it's just fascinating. Kids are able to take in complex information about their food and where it comes from and make their own decisions. And so I think we need to afford them the respect by providing them
right.
with this information.
I think there is a natural curiosity. Did you come across that, Ramin? I don't know. When I was cooking a lot, I was starting to wonder about all the, you know, effects and impact of my ingredients.
You know, I think children obviously have a natural curiosity as it is. And when they're working with something in a tactile way, they're mm-hmm. handling it, I think that provokes that interest more. I know that for my own daughter, although she's not particularly interested uh-huh. in cooking, she does ask a lot of questions about food.
Like, and what is a mushroom? I remember
yeah,
wondering that when I was a kid.
Yeah, and I remember she was very, very little. And we were in a butcher shop, and there was, you know, a whole leg of lamb or goat hanging up. And she said to me, that looks like somebody's leg, you know, somebody. She was so little, two or three. And I said, well, it's whatever animal it was at the time. And I could see her process this. She was
right.
thinking about
right.
this. And I think that there is a natural curiosity that helps them organize the world, not just cooking, mm-hmm. not just sustainability or the task at hand, but put things in the world in order mm-hmm. in a way that they understand their place within that order.
So you mentioned, like, what do you foresee now? Because you interviewed, I don't know, how many, 50 or so? How many kids?
Yeah, it was 96, I think.
96,
yeah.
Okay. you know, you kind of got to know them a little bit. And where do you think, you know, I love that, you know, they each kind of have their own regional food style. Like, there's an alligator chili in here. But where do you think they're headed in a culinary, I guess, direction, if any, that you can foresee?
Well, I'll tell you what I'm hoping. I'm mm-hmm. hoping that because they at least have an interest on some level in cooking, again, whatever the reason is, because they like to eat good food, their interest in where it comes from, all the things we've discussed, that they become the forward flank in returning scratch cooking, you know, okay. using books like Sarah's and in inculcating them as part of their whole way of living and, yeah. and bringing scratch cooking back to this. Mm-hmm. Yeah, even if it's a hobby that's a practical hobby that becomes a real-world skill that follows them into adulthood. I think what was most interesting for me in this book, that as passionate as all these kids were, and this was actually most hopeful to me as well, very few of them wanted to be chefs. Very few of them wanted to have a culinary career or
Good.
Open a restaurant. Exactly. I have to say, I thought that too.
Cooking
I thought to
for
myself.
Real, but not. But they look like they could be chefs. I mean, look, some of these look really good.
And some of them do. There are a couple who are already, you know, now mm-hmm. this book, 2 years after I interviewed them, they are in culinary school. Some of them are, you know, staging in restaurants. Absolutely. But the greatest percentage are not interested in that. They're just interested in being able to cook good food, eat good food.
Share it with friends.
Share it, enjoy it, and, you know, be knowledgeable about it.
That's
And it's one of those, it makes perfect sense that kids would want to engage with food by cooking because it's just sheer pleasure, right? I mean, that's why I love writing about food and thinking about food as a way of talking about the bigger issues in terms of sustainability and the future of our planet. Because mm-hmm. when it comes down to food, it's just delicious.
There's nothing
if you have enough money to buy food, and that of course is an important if. But if you have enough money to buy ingredients to make food, anybody can make something spectacular. You'd need a little bit of knowledge and a little bit of space, and you can make something delicious that will make you and your family happy. So it's a very accessible skill to everybody.
And there's something about that excitement factor and the risk factor that makes it, I mean, grown-ups who have, like, they take this odd pride in doing something really kind of complicated or, I don't know, dangerous, but, like, you know, just something a little bit tricky, and it's just so much more fulfilling.
That's a good point. And the surprise, too. What's it going to taste like? I never thought of that. That's a nice way of phrasing it, Kathy.
So how far into your 5-week experiment is it to the New Year's resolution?
We just finished week 2, and I have 3 more weeks. I am less confident that we will make it, but you know what? I am going to be, think optimistically and positively and believe that my children will be able to acquire skills. The lessons that I've learned so far is that every day is not a good day to do cooking with your kids because everybody needs to be present in not just physically but, you know, emotionally present and in a good mood and not rushed to get homework done in bedtime so the weekend is better. To have time, if that's when you have time, to spend that time together. It's really important, I had said earlier, to make foods that they want to make, but I mm-hmm. think they're very open to making the foods that I suggest that they make, which is surprising to me as well. And I think it's good because otherwise my kids love macaroni and cheese. We'd be just making macaroni from cheese from scratch forever, and I really want them to make. My goal is their grandmother's kukupaka chicken curry recipe. That's the goal that's waiting for them. That's one of their favorite dishes. And now their grandma's also inspired to get teach them as well.
Well, I think it's a interesting idea. I can't wait to see more people try that. Have you ever tried an opposite week, Ramin, with your daughter, where she cooks?
Not yet, really. But the thing is, she does. I'll tell you what's really interesting about her. She'll come and tell me in great detail what it is that she wants. Like she'll say, she came to me the other day and she said, you know, it would be really great if you could make a fruit tart with a custard filling and these fruits on top and an almond short crust. And I thought, you're 9. I'm not your personal chef, but of course, for mine, I am. So I think that's pretty interesting.
The awareness.
I think, you know, I'd love to get to that point of, it's really, to Sarah's point, it's about me and not her, because I keep thinking, my knives are so sharp, you know, the range is so hot, you know, things like that. The stove is so hot. So I have to get over it, and I would love to try it.
That's true.
You know, there's a teacher who I interviewed, and he said something that was so inspiring to me. He said the reason he teaches kids how to cook is so that they, when they say, I'm hungry, they don't say, Mom, I'm hungry, or Dad, I'm hungry. They say, I'm hungry, and I feel like hummus, and so I'm going to make it.
Yes. That's a great goal.
It's just that control. And it's good for us parents, too, if our kids cook.
Hummus is a great, great thing to learn.
Yeah.
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 So I just wanted to also note that Future Chefs is not just for kids. It's for grownups, would you say, Ramin? Or?
Yeah, it's actually not a kid's cookbook per se. You know, there's nothing in it about cooking with your kids.
The recipes are solid. There's no need for them to just be made by kids.
No, it's just a regular cookbook. Yeah. I always tell people it's just a mainstream regular cookbook of sort of diverse recipes, like you would have seen more in the past, right? Where a cookbook encompassed some
many
of
different
everything.
Chefs, yeah,
exactly.
Collaboration. But these are so impressive and so inspiring and so aspirational because you interviewed all these incredible stories about kids. So,
thank you.
Yeah, and starting from scratch, just want to also note it is a fantastic one-on-one about all kinds of, you know, aspects of cooking, and it has lovely illustrations, so it's really fun for kids too, as well as informative.
And you know, much what has surprised me is that people have told me they've got the book for their teenagers who are going off to college, who are need to be independent.
Totally.
And they need to learn how to, you know, what is stir fry versus steam versus like those things that if you've grown up with people
cooking
around
you, you
take for granted.
Yeah. I love it. Well, thank you so much for these important works. And I think you guys touched on a lot of similar topics, which is so cool for such different books. But congratulations. Do check it out.
And thank you.
Yeah. And look forward to seeing what more work you come out with. Thanks everyone at Heritage. We'll see you next week on Eat Your Words.
Theme song for Eat Your Words is Lovin' Like This by the California Honey Drops.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.